a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
We will call the Ad Hoc Public Utilities Commission meeting to order. This is Chairman Nelson in the hearing room. I have Acting Commissioner Satgast with me in the room, and Commissioner Hansen is on the telephone line. We are here this afternoon for HP 14-002 in the matter of the application of the Dakota Access LLC for an energy facility permit to construct the Dakota Access Pipeline. Our questions today is, shall the commission grant the joint motion to amend the procedural schedule? And if so, what procedural schedule shall the commission adopt? Just as an FYI to everybody, we do have our court reporter here with us. So, as always, try to speak slower than what I usually speak. I think the first thing that we are going to do, unless there's an objection, we have this motion from Mr. Boomsma on behalf of his clients to join Yankton Sioux Tribe et al. In the motion to amend the procedural schedule. And I think it might make most sense if we deal with that question first. So, Mr. Boomsma, if you'd like to make your case.
Sure. Judge, I did file paperwork to join in on the motion to amend procedural schedule. In other words, I'm adopting the motion and the brief in support thereof filed by, looks like, Yankton Sioux Tribe, Rosebud Sioux Tribe, and Indigenous Environmental Network, I guess also Dakota Rural Action. But I'm just making a position to the PUC that I don't think the current scheduling order is any more workable. I take that position because, first off, with respect to discovery,
Mr. Boomsma, I'm going to interrupt you. If you could just hold your comments at this point to the argument on whether or not you should be allowed to join.
Okay. I represent interested parties, and one of my interested parties served discovery on Dakota Access, and that discovery was due back from Dakota Access on May 1st. So I'm in a very similar position as that of the moving parties, and based on that, it's my position I should be allowed to join in on the motion to amend procedural schedule.
Thank you. Are there any of the other interveners that feel a need to weigh in on this?
This is Matt Rappold on behalf of Rosebud. The only thing I would weigh in on is that I would not have any objections to the request to join the motion.
Thank you. Any others?
This is Thomasina Realbird on behalf of the Yankton Sioux Tribe. As one of the moving parties, we have no objection to Mr. Bloom's client joining the motion.
Excellent. Ms. Edwards for staff.
Staff has no objection.
And we will go to the applicant, Ms. Semler.
No objection.
Thank you. Thank you. Questions from the commissioners? Hearing none, is there a motion? Commissioner Satgast.
I will move to allow them to join the motion.
Thank you. Discussion on the motion. Hearing no discussion, all those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Satgast.
Aye.
Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
And Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. The motion to join is approved. That then takes us to the motion by Yankton Sioux Tribe, Rosebud Sioux Tribe, Indigenous Environmental Network, and Dakota Rural Action to amend the procedural schedule. And I am going to go to Ms. Realbird. Thomasina, are you the one that wants to carry this?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've actually asked Matt Rappold because of my travel schedule. I'm on a cell phone, and I realize the difficulties it will cause. So if he will present the new motion, and I'll add anything specific to Yankton.
Excellent. Thomasina, just hang on. None of that came through, and our court reporter is just trying to get situated. Okay. Tomasina, you are kind of coming in and out. If you could just very briefly repeat that for the court reporter.
Mr. Chairman, I've asked Matt Rappaport from the Yankton Sioux side to present the main argument on the motion because it is a joint motion. And due to unavoidable travel, I have to be on my cell phone at this time. So for the benefit of everybody, I've asked Matt to present.
Excellent. I just want to say thank you to you. I think that will be to everybody's benefit because I think Matt's coming across very clear. So with that, Matt, go ahead.
Thank you, Chairman Nelson. Matt Rappold on behalf of the Rosebud Sioux Tribe and the remaining commissioners, appreciate your time today to hear the issue that's presently before you. As I'm seeing it, I kind of see the issue before you comprising three issues as it relates to the procedural schedule and our motion to amend that schedule. I'd like to say from the outset, or the onset rather, in response to staff's characterization of our motion, I just want to be clear that this is not a motion for continuance. Rather, it is a motion to amend the procedural schedule, and I just don't want to have that the commission consider that as an improper characterization of what we're asking for. The other two issues appear to be changing the due date for Yankton Sioux Tribe's second round of discovery following the order to compel, and whether or not there's sufficient time built into the schedule to actually have that date remain May 22nd, considering that there still may be issues on the table as far as Dakota Access complying with the order to compel that was issued last week. And then the other issue, as it appears to me, would be the length of the time that's required to prepare direct testimony. And I realize that last issue is slightly different than what was presented in the grounds for the motion, and I need to kind of explain that to the commission a little bit before moving into more substantive discussions. To me, kind of looking at the taking a plain reading of the procedural schedule, it appeared to create a situation where testimony would be filed prior to the completion of discovery. And I think on the other docket, we kind of addressed that issue. And further reviewing the transcripts of the proceeding with the schedule, it helped me to really clear up the confusion that I got from reading the procedural schedule on its face. And it does appear that the intent was to complete discovery before requiring parties to file pre-filed testimony, including direct and rebuttal. And the schedule actually, it does reflect that intention. What kind of threw me a little bit was the extra period of discovery just prior to the evidentiary hearing. With that said, what concerns me particularly as far as ample time to file direct testimony is that if you look at the dates, we've got June 15th is the date that discovery is due. And June 26th is the date when direct testimony is due. Now, that only leaves 10 total days to accomplish everything that would need to be accomplished during that time period in order to have your direct testimony filed. There's a weekend in there, so it actually leaves 8 working days. And I just point out that the issues that we've encountered in other dockets and that we're actually other parties are encountering in this docket, we have the resolution of discovery issues would have to take place in those 10 days. Parties may have to comply with any orders to compel that the commission could issue during those 10 days. Parties have to review the compelled discovery, review and prepare final testimony. So even if everything goes off as perfect as it could go during those 10 days, I'm I'm still concerned that there's not adequate time to accomplish everything that needs to be accomplished prior to providing testimony. So what I would ask the commission to look at is the backside of that June 26th deadline, and it would appear with the additional period of discovery that's built into the schedule that after the June 26th deadline, there's plenty of time to move the filing date of direct and rebuttal testimony back without actually interfering with the rest of the hearing dates. It appears to us that if the commission considers these things, we can amend the schedule in a way that's fair to all parties and still keeps the case on track for the statutory required evidentiary hearing to take place within a year of the filing of the application. So I know there's other issues in there that are connected more closely to the discovery disputes and the order to compel surrounding Yankton and the May 22nd deadline. And it also appears that Mr. Boomsma's clients may have some other discovery issues that could be pending. I don't know. It just seems like there's some issues associated with discovery already. So I wonder if it's if the May 22nd date to file second round of discovery should still be the date when testimony or discovery is required, rather. And then Rosebud, we haven't filed any discovery yet, and Dakota Access makes that clear. So the question that I'd ask the commission to consider, if it does amend the Yankton date to file a second round of discovery, does the commission want to keep consistent and have one date for everybody, or does the commission kind of want to bifurcate that those dates like it had done in other dockets? Either way, we're prepared to be on track with the schedule as it stands as far as the May 22nd date goes. We just throw it out to the commission if the commission wants to keep dates consistent for all parties. So I'll yield the remainder to the other interveners.
Mr. Appold, thank you. I'm going to just go down the list. Kimberly Craven, anything to add? Not hearing anything from
Kimberly. Okay, no, it's me. My mute didn't come off. This is Kimberly Craven, and I do want to weigh in on this because we do have a problem with the May 22nd date. Despite what Mr. Rappold has said on behalf of the joint motion, our responses to the first discovery round were a week late, and so that pushes everything back a week, in my eyes, at least a week. And so I would ask that you push back when the second date of discovery is due, so that will give us adequate time to prepare those questions and requests for information. And besides that, I really would also like to weigh in that it is really difficult to file pre-file testimony when discovery is not complete. We've found that to be an issue in other dockets. We're coming to you sooner because we've been, questioned about why are you waiting until the last minute to bring these issues up. We're coming now and saying this is an issue, and we're asking the commission to please take our concerns into consideration and amend the procedural schedule sooner than later. And that's all I have to say. Thank you. And I wanted to add one other thing. Mr. Konecki, I'm not sure I'm saying his name right, he questioned, too, why IEN hadn't submitted any discovery requests and why we were joining the motion. I am, at this point in time, representing both IEN and DRA, and so I didn't figure it might be kind of repetitive to submit two sets of information when I was doing both of them. So I tried to only submit one set of discovery requests, and so I just wanted to offer that up as an explanation.
Thank you. Mr. Boomsma.
Okay. Thank you, Commission. I'll start now with the argument that I started with when I first spoke. It's my position to the Commission that this current scheduling order or procedural schedule is not workable. Here's why I take that position. May 2nd, I did receive incomplete unsigned discovery responses back. No documents were produced at that time. I did trade emails with Mr. Kennecke then about, well, when can I get the responses? How much additional time do you need, etc.? Those kinds of emails took place. I finally did get signed responses from Dakota Access on May 11th, but I view those responses to be incomplete as well. I attached those responses to my affidavit. Some examples of why I say they're incomplete would be, first off, interrogatories 50 through 52. The best I could get for an answer out of Dakota Access was that they're currently studying those items. That was the answer. Number 52, there were 12 subparts to that interrogatory question, and they only answered one of the subparts. Interrogatories 40, 41, and 42, their response was they referred me to a March 19, 2015 filing that has been made on the docket. It wasn't responsive to the questions. I receive an email on May 8, 2015, from Mr. Kennecke, and in that email, he states he still plans on getting me more information as far as the pipe segments, pipe yards, and coatings. That email is attached as Exhibit C to my affidavit. On top of that, objections were posed to interrogatories 6, 7, 10, 12, 24, 26, 28, 27, 34, 35, 39, 44, and 47. So I did not receive much in the way of useful information since they made those objections. My position, again, is that the current procedural schedule is just not workable. The first round of discovery, from my perspective, has not been completed. I've got an email from Mr. Kennecke saying he's still going to get me more information. Some of his responses say, we're working on it. We'll get you more. I don't think that this May 22nd deadline can be met. I don't know how it could. I don't even have the responses yet from my position. Same thing goes with this June 26th deadline to file direct testimony. I don't think that can be met. I already received my responses 11 days late, and what I did get is incomplete. I think that the whole scheduling order has to be bumped back, and even then we'll have to take it probably week by week and see what we're going to be able to meet. I'm very concerned that I still don't feel that my discovery has been responded to. I don't have complete answers, and that's jeopardizing and prejudicing my right and my obligations to abide by the current scheduling order. I just don't think it's workable at this point. That's my position.
Thank you. Kristen Edwards for staff.
Thank you, Chairman. This is Kristen Edwards for staff. Staff submitted a brief, and I won't go through all of that. The one point I would like to make is, again, the additional round of discovery that ends after pre-filed direct testimony and rebuttal testimony is due. Again, that's just a tool, just as the scheduling order lays out, that it's pertaining to issues raised by pre-filed testimony and exhibits or a change in circumstances. That's right in the order there. And if parties don't want to engage in that, they certainly don't have to, but I foresee staff using that as a very helpful tool to gain more information after pre-filed testimony is filed, and we would like that to remain in the order so that we can take advantage of that. Also, the discovery is ongoing, so if a party was to submit questions, discovery questions on May 26th, or May 22nd, rather, and more information came to light, because discovery is ongoing, as was discussed in the procedural at the procedural scheduling conference, they could certainly submit more discovery requests, and I foresee that happening. There's nothing saying that you only are limited to those two rounds of discovery. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Semler.
Thank you, Commissioner, Advisor, and staff. I want to start out by saying that the applicant doesn't necessarily object to moving back the May 22nd or June 26th deadline. You know, we aren't privy to those internal needs of the various parties that have joined in this motion, and if they need some extra time, we appreciate that, and we're willing to consider any suggestions with an open mind. I did, however, raise a few points in my reply to their motion. I won't repeat those, but just based on the verbal argument that's taken place today, I want to make a few comments. I don't think it's accurate to portray that there's only 10 days in between, only 10 days to get pre-filed testimony put together. There's actually 6 months by the time that June 26 deadline rolls around. It's the applicant's position that all information it needs to meet its burden of proof is included in the application itself, and that was filed last December. Now, a variety of that gets fleshed out in pre-filed testimony, which is why we also believe, and we join staff's suggestion, that there be some discovery after that pre-filed testimony gets filed. I think that's a real useful tool, and we respect and appreciate the recommendations staff made regarding the schedule based on their extensive experience and history working on these sort of citing dockets. You know, the statute gives the commission an obligation to hold its public hearing, and it gives you an obligation to enter complete findings within 12 months. But in between there, all the parties are stuck with figuring this out. So rather than pointing fingers, I think this is a good process to come before you and to further discuss what we may need to do to make these adjustments. And we don't object to moving the two deadlines that interveners have suggested move. Again, I want to support Ms. Edwards' statements that May 22nd deadline really isn't a deadline. It was some guidance provided by Commission Counsel, and it is helpful to have that in the scheduling order, but discovery is ongoing. And just as we did write to Mr. Boomsma that as we discover more information, we'll be providing it, that's our obligation, which will continue right up until the day we have that hearing. Discovery questions are asked, and as more information is collected, we're going to continue to provide that. If things change, we'll continue to provide it. So it's really difficult to say, you know, by X date, everything should be provided, because that's not how discovery is designed, and that would not make discovery real productive. This is the first we've really heard of Mr. Boomsma's specific objections or complaints regarding our responses to discovery. Our responses, I can't concede to that 11-day late, as he related, he received responses, very substantive responses, the day after, one day late. And this is the first we're hearing of his complaints. We're anxious to work through those issues with him, just as we tried to do with the other parties. We'll work with him to supplement our responses if we can. And if we can't satisfy his requests in his mind, there's a motion to compel process that he can go through in front of the commission, just as the Yankton Sioux tribe did. But before we get there, we'd like the opportunity to work with him and figure out what it is that he believes is deficient in our responses. So with that, I'm going to conclude again with, we don't object. If we need to move a couple dates, let's do it. Let's have a productive hearing in September.
Thank you. And hearing no objection, I'm not going to ask for any rebuttal, but I would ask for any commissioner questions. I do have questions. Ms. Semler, You and Mr. Kaneki were here last week, and I asked a question about where we were at with complying with our motion to compel in relation to Yankton. Can you give us an update on that? And I'm really looking for an answer as to when that's going to be finalized.
I can give you an update to that. The requests for a list of contractors or staff who did the survey work, that was sent. That's complete, both as far as geological or other surveys and the cultural. That's sent. That's complete. We sent documents responsive to request number 3 today, 342 pages, confidential pages, of the preliminary cultural survey work and agency communication. Now, the final comprehensive won't be done until on or before June 3rd. So June 3rd is our drop-dead date for the final cultural comprehensive Class 3 report. But all the preliminary stuff's been provided as of today. Now, as far as, and that was interrogatory number 19 and request for production number 3. I think that covers both of those. Document request number 4. Ms. Realbert and I had some email correspondence, and she agreed to receive the state utility regulatory filings, those public documents. She agreed to receive those via a link to those websites. So we've got that covered. Remaining South Dakota permits, that was sent today. 299 pages was sent today, as well as all of the, you know, final and more official communications we had with state agencies. Iowa and Illinois, we expect to have all of those permits and all of those official communications, the other permits. I'm not talking utility filings, but the other sorts of permits, we expect to have those by the end of the week. We will have those by the end of the week, Commissioner. And I expect Iowa and Illinois will probably be in the, you know, between 300 and 400 page range as well. The thing we're struggling with are all of the internal communications and just other correspondence in general that aren't official. The applicant has a filing system where all of the official communications get put in a place and they get kept. However, all of the staff-to-staff, staff-to-consultant conversation about weather or scheduling or whatever it might be, the non-official communications, those are all deleted off the system in 90 days. Now, could we bring in an expert IT individual that could, I mean, it's somewhere. I get it. It's forensically somewhere. But that stuff's off the system and not accessible to the individuals we work with if it's older than 90 days. We didn't notice a, you know, motion to reconsider or anything like that. And I don't have all of the details because our clients are still working real hard to figure out how it is they can get a hold of those documents. But it might be overly burdensome. Now, again, all of the official correspondence that go along with any of the applicant submissions or permitting submissions with any state agency, those are kept, and the Yankton Sioux Tribe will receive those. But it's those extra internal staff-to-staff, staff-to-consultant stuff, dozens of employees, hundreds of emails. They're posing right now to be a challenge for us to get a hold of. And regarding that particular chunk of information, I can't give you our timeline on that. And we may be in front of you with a motion to reconsider as I gather more technical information on the possibility of gathering that stuff.
Thank you, and I do appreciate your candor and your response. Ms. Realbert, I guess I'd like to ask you, you've heard how the process is going from the applicant's end. Any comments from your end?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and hopefully I'm coming through clear. I would just like to add from what Matt presented earlier that we still haven't received the first round of discovery responses, as Ms. Semler detailed to you. And so to the extent that that, I guess, cuts into the original 3 weeks the commission had contemplated between the discovery rounds, we would ask for the second round of discovery from Yankton, at least, to go out a likewise time that our receipt of the information has been delayed. So we, in other words, are requesting for a full 3 weeks from when we receive the complete first round discovery to when
Ms. Realbird. This is a court reporter. I couldn't hear a few of your words there. You said, so we, in other words, are requesting for a full 3 weeks and then continue there?
A full 3 weeks from the time we receive a complete set of discovery from the first round from the applicant to when our second discovery goes out. And I am, I guess, confused as to why staff and the applicant take the position that the deadlines are, from what I'm understanding, they're saying that they're not firm deadlines. But from our experience before the commission, when the commission sets those deadlines, they have to be met. So I'm not, I guess I'd like some clarification from the commission as to whether these deadlines are not certain or whether they are, because our understanding and our operation is for these deadlines to be met rather than this fluid process. And I do understand the obligation for ongoing discovery responses if additional discovery is made known to a party that must produce it. But that's separate from having these deadlines be so fluid. So, those are my comments, and we would just like the full 3 weeks. And to the extent there's time in the schedule, we would like the adjustment to be made, pushing back almost everything 3 weeks.
Thanks.
Or at least from the time that we're going to, from that June date that we're going to receive the response from the applicant.
Excuse me, I didn't catch that. Or at least from the time that we're going to
receive the responses from the applicant.
Thank you. A question for Ms. Edwards. It would appear to me that the deadline for pre-filed direct testimony could certainly be pushed back without impinging upon the time to prepare for the actual hearing. Am I correct in that?
Sure, I think that would be reasonable, and staff would not have an objection to delaying it a reasonable amount of time.
Thank you. Other commissioner questions? Commissioner Hansen, any questions?
No, Commissioner, Mr. Chairman, I just want to make certain that there's that we don't compress the timeline at the end of this process and create difficulty for either the hearing or for the commission to, sometimes the commission needs additional information after the hearing. That's quite often the case. And then we, our staff needs time to write the order after the order is established. So I just want to make certain we don't compress those timelines. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Sagast, any questions?
No questions, other than just a statement of, you know, I know when we set schedules, I like to try to adhere to schedules, but I do understand that there are some circumstances that will push or require us to change that.
Thank you. Seeing no further questions, is there a motion? I will move to amend the procedural schedule in two matters, in two fashions. Change the deadline for the second round of discovery requests only for those parties that actually issued first round of discovery requests from May 22nd to May 29th, and the date for the deadline for pre-filed direct testimony served and filed by all parties, moving that from June 26th to July 6th. Discussion on the motion. Let me start my discussion right where Commissioner Sagast ended his commentary. Let me make it abundantly clear to all parties that I can see absolutely nothing that would require us to change the hearing date that has been scheduled. And I expect every party, the applicant and all the interveners and the staff, to do everything in their power to make sure that we stay on track for that. Now, having said that, I understand the applicant is having some difficulty meeting some of these discovery requests and our motion to compel. And what I've heard at this point leads me to believe that we need to allow a little bit of additional time in the two fashions that I've indicated. Given Ms. Semler's rather open-ended responses in a couple of regards, and again, I appreciate her candor and not trying to cover up where they're at, but given those, will there need to be other opportunities for us to address this? Perhaps. But I think a lot of that depends on how quickly they can wrap up those responses. And so I think for today, the two dates that I propose changing are appropriate. Additional discussion. Mr. Smith.
Ms. Edwards has a question here she'd like to ask before we go to vote on this.
Certainly, Kristen.
Thank you, Chairman and General Counsel. The question I had regarded the second round responses due June 15th. In the motion, second round was due for parties that issued first round discovery on May 29th. Would responses then be 30 days after that or still on June 15th?
What would you recommend?
Staff would recommend 30 days, which is statutorily provided unless otherwise ordered by the commission.
That would place the second round discovery due for those, again, for only those parties who actually issued first round discovery. I would push that deadline to June 29th, providing a full 30 days. Now, I noticed there wasn't 30 days in the original schedule. And what that does, though, see, that compresses the amount of time that folks are going to have to prepare their pre-filed testimony. I'm not comfortable with June 29th. I would go to June 22nd. I think that would, if we could consider a friendly amendment to my motion to push the second round of discovery due, and again, only by those parties that issued first round discovery requests, to June 22nd. So we've got, for those parties, second round of discovery requests served by May 29th, second round discovery due June 22nd, and then for all parties, pre-filed direct testimony served and filed by July 6th. Ms. Edwards, thank you for asking that question. Any additional discussion based on that exchange? Hearing no discussion, all those in favor?
Mr. Chair? Mr.
Commissioner Hansen, go ahead.
Thank you. I thought you were calling just on that particular portion of the discussion. I would just like to, I agree wholeheartedly with the motion, but I want to make certain that folks understand that historically with our dockets, information does not arrive in a bundle. It is not just a process of, this is the information we need, and then here it is in a bundle. Information is historically arrives in sometimes in pieces, sometimes in bundles. And discovery is an ongoing process, and this sometimes confuses the issue with deadlines. But I also want to reiterate and support the statements by my two fellow commissioners that deadlines are deadlines, and we do expect that the parties will not be dilatory in providing information or even asking for information. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Additional discussion.
Mr. Chairman.
A question from Ms. Semler.
For those parties that will be serving discovery for the first time, their requests are due on May 22nd, correct?
That is correct.
Would it be possible to jive up the response due date for the applicant that we move that for a full 30 days to June 22nd, and then all responses for all discovery next round would be June 22nd, if I'm reading the schedule correct? That's a, that between that May 22nd and June 15 is compressed for those serving their first round of discovery, right, at this point? And if it is their first set of questions, maybe very voluminous, and for less than 30 days to respond, I think could be difficult, and I'm making lots of assumptions right now. I understand that.
My and I appreciate the question. I think it's a valid question. My concern being that if there are failures to comply by June 15th, that gives us very little time to deal with failures to comply. And I'm not comfortable going there, but I appreciate your question. Any additional discussion from commissioners? Hearing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Sattgast?
Aye.
Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
And Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. Anything else for the good of the order? Hearing none, is there a motion to adjourn?
I move to adjourn.
Move to adjourn. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Sattgast?
Aye.
Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
Nelson votes aye. We are adjourned. Thank you.